second and fourth year of a down stock market, is it
Hello. There we go. All right. How's everybody doing? Everybody's picks doing well? Amy is doing really good, huh? Awesome. I feel really loud. I'm going to try to lower that a little bit. All right. Well, thank you for coming back. We're going to start with a lame attempt at humor here, and then we'll get going. And I'm going to have to start that over because now the sound's not loud enough. What's that? You're a new person? I'm Steve. Good to meet you, new person. What's your name? John. Good to meet you, John. All right. All right, I got to start this back over. How many people are annoyed with all the commercials for the NCAA tournament? All I know is if I ever need auto parts, I'm never going to Napa. I hate those commercials. I mean, those are the worst, but let me try this again.
I'm considering the Reliable Dividend Growth Fund. What can you tell me about it?
The Reliable Dividend Growth Fund invests in companies with potential for first-time or increasing dividends. We found they're often a signal for companies in pretty good shape.
Dividends as an indication of financial health. That's smart. What can you tell me about mid-caps and mid-cap funds? Does Reliable have a mid-cap fund?
No, Reliable's mid-cap fund generally invests in companies' value between $1 and $15 billion.
Suppose I wanted to buy an individual mid-cap stock instead of a mutual fund.
Well, that would be possible depending on performance. It would offset the riskier stocks in your portfolio.
So, right, I could buy the fund or go right into a stock?
Reliable is one of the largest online brokerages. You could click into our smart screen and start trading today.
Is there a map of the market?
Everything you need, including up-to-the-minute quotes.
Great. I think I've learned something.
It's a great time to invest.
To invest, call for a visit Reliable.
So anybody feel that way about their portfolio lately?
The Reliable Dividend Growth Fund?
It's a great time to invest.
The Reliable Dividend
Growth Fund. It's been kind of a rocky week in the market and a lot going on. Tonight our topic is going to be the topic of investing. And so hopefully you got your thinking caps on and ready to talk about money in the Christian life, mainly focusing in on investing. And so let me pray really quick and then we'll get started. Lord, just bless this night. Thank you for those who've made the effort to be out here. Lord, just help us to continue, Lord, to just get into your word and learn what it has to say and how that impacts in our life, Lord, even when it comes to this topic of money and this topic of investing. Lord, just bless this time in your name. Amen. So investing, welcome. Again, I don't have a sound guy. I feel really loud. Is that all right? Am I turning the wrong one, gents? Okay. I know you had a lot of options here. Everybody excited about spring, too? Man, wasn't that weather nice today? Oh, it'll just be so good. I brought a picture of me and Damn to Damn last year. I am right there in the white shirt. Hopefully you've signed up for all your spring races and you're ready to go. Ready to get out on the golf course. Tonight, again, our topic is investing, And so our key text for tonight is going to be Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as sure as haste or quickness leads to prosperity. And interesting times in the market. Here's the last 10 years. I titled this, Does the Market Ever Go Up? Here's the last 10 years. There's been a lot of ups and downs, hasn't there? You know, here's 9/11 right back here. And then we had recession. We had some great expansion. Then what happened in 2008? Everybody remember? Pretty big downturn for a while. This would have been the worst time to get out. Here's where we bottomed, March of 2009. And what have we had since March? Kind of recovery. You know, that recovery has turned into expansion again in the business cycles. And then of late, we've had a little bit of a dip. But we're going to talk about investing tonight and hopefully bring some history to this too. This is probably the least of the lessons that we've gone through, you know, starting with our introduction and biblical stewardship, debt, budgeting. To me, this is a really fun lesson, but it may be the least Bible-based, I guess you might have to say. The Bible has a lot to say about investing, but obviously it doesn't talk about SEP IRAs, Roth IRAs, you know, when to use a safe harbor plan. You're not going to find any of that in the scripture, but there are a lot of things that we can apply to our lives. So is investing wrong? Absolutely not. Here's a quote by Billy Graham. There's nothing wrong with men possessing riches. The wrong comes when the riches possess men. And so, you know, is investing scriptural? I get that question once in a while, and absolutely, I believe it is. You know, there are some very clear wrong motives for investing. Some wrong motives might be investing because of greed. So that Luke 12 passage, and a lot of these, I'm not sure if these are in your notes, some of the scriptures are not. If they're not, just jot them down quick, and you can look back to them. But that Luke 12 passage talks about, for not even when one has abundance does his life consist of his things. You know, if we're investing to get rich quick or investing out of greed, that would be a wrong motive. Certainly to get rich quick, there is just a ton of verses and a ton of caution in the Bible about get rich quick stuff. And so, you know, all you have to do is have a TV and turn it on late at night and you'll see a bazillion ways of how you can double your wealth and how it's easy and, you know, be careful. The Bible says, no, that's not true. Wealth is created over time. To massage your ego, that would be another wrong reason to be investing. You know, that Proverbs 29 verse is, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit obtains honor. And so, some wrong motives, greed, get rich quick, you know, pumping up your ego. What are some right motives? What are some reasons we should be investing? And we'll talk about this throughout our class, but one would be to prepare for the unexpected. That's our key verse for the night. There are some unexpected things that could happen that are good motives to be investing for. Unexpected and expected. Some expected things that are going to happen. You know, we're all going to someday maybe have to retire, or the Lord may retire us. And so that's something we should be investing for. Kids' education, on down the line. To act as a good steward. You know, the parable of the talents. You can look at it in several of the Gospels, but certainly the parable of talents, we want to be a good steward. Investing for future needs, such as retirement, college education, those would be some good reasons to be investing. That Proverbs 6:6-8, we've already talked about that passage, but, you know, that's the one, go to the ant, you sluggard, you know, observe her ways. You know, she stores up food. So hopefully there are some good verses here that you can go back to and look at as far as good reasons, good motivations to be investing. And in the end, the last thing I put on this first slide by just kind of way of introduction is ultimately the Lord knows our hearts, right? There's no hiding from Him. God does know your motives. And the Lord weighs the heart. So that proverb that I put there, Proverbs 6:2-3 is, can't quote it exactly, but basically, you know, the Lord knows your heart. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will succeed. And so hopefully, even in your investing, because again, to go back to week two, I think we made it abundantly clear that again, Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's, all that it contains. So even that 401k that I attach ownership to, that's going to be my retirement income, isn't really mine, right? And so, again, the Lord knows our motives, but there are some there are some things I think we could all agree on that we need to be investing for. We need to be accumulating systematically. Investing in an uncertain market. If my mentor in the business, Jim Wolf, were here tonight, he would say, you know, the only certainty we have is uncertainty. You know, there's always going to be uncertainty. Right now, I know I'm going to get some good calls on Monday because of what happened, what's happening in Libya and all that. So I'm sure, you know, we're always going to have uncertainty. Whether interest rates are going up, down, the market's up, the market's down, there's all sorts of risk, right? And so we're going to talk about some different risks. And again, you won't leave here being a CFA or an expert, but hopefully we'll give you just some well-rounded tips and some things to think about, and certainly in your notes, things you can go back to. So what is an investment? You know, an investment is the investing of money or capital in order to gain a profitable return, interest, income, appreciation, and value. You know, something that can or will be sold when it's accomplished the goal or it's not accomplishing the goal. So investing, you know, we typically think of money or capital, but we'll go through and we'll define what are some very typical ways people invest. And I'll get a bore you to tears and see your eyes gloss over as we talk about what a stock is and what a bond is and what a cash equivalent is. We'll get to that. The world's view on investing, again, just by way of introduction here before we get too deep, but hopefully we're not investing just to get rich quick. That would be a wrong motive. We're not, world's view on investing, just spend and consume. Maximize profits at all costs. You know, buy low, sell high. Time the market. Very, very short term. And so, you know, we need to contrast that with what's God's view. And so, timing the market, and I wish I had Art in here. Art's doing an interview. I'm sure he'd love to talk about market timing. But market timing's never worked. Everybody know what market timing is? Market timing is that idea that you jump in and out of the market. You know, Jeremy's got this magic eight ball at his desk, and he shakes it up, and it tells him when he should be in stocks or out of stocks. And in long term, that's never worked. The market has, no one knows. So the world's view, you know, get rich quick, spend and consume, maximize at all costs. Buy low, sell high, time the market. God's view, a biblical view of investing, is that wealth is not accumulated in a day. Wealth is accumulated over time. And over again in Scripture, if you dig into this topic, you'll find that wealth is absolutely accumulated over time. I don't have the verse there, but Proverbs 28:20 says, you know, he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. So again, you can interview, I'd encourage you to interview somebody that you know who's been successful and has won with money, and you're going to find in their story that it didn't happen because of just some freak idea and some infomercial thing that they bought. Typically it was they did consistent, they had some really good habits over time, they saved. We're going to watch a video, if we have time here at the end of class, of a gentleman who tells his story. But biblical view, so again, get rich quick versus investing over time, saving and investing, seeking God's wisdom. Steady plotting brings prosperity. These are some biblical views on investing. I love that term, steady plotter. You look at people who have won with money, most of them have been very systematic and very diligent in how they've accumulated wealth. So why do most of us have all of our, you know, most of the money that a lot of people have that don't have investments is tied up in their house? Why? Because it just happens every month. They have to make that mortgage payment. And so figuring out a way with your investing plan to do the exact same thing. Don't make it a negotiable of will I save this month? Will I put in my Roth? The more you can systematize things and just keep plodding along. And then another biblical view of investing would be, and we'll break this out a little further, but just the whole idea of diversification. You know, you'd think that that was a financial term. You know, in my finance degree, you'd think that diversification, you know, we spent tons of time in studying diversification, asset allocation, all these buzzwords. Really, diversification is a very biblical term. It basically is don't put all your eggs in one basket. And Ecclesiastes 2 talks about that. Ecclesiastes 2, the whole chapter 11, really the whole chapter, but specifically verse 2 says, divide your portion 7 unto 8. as we don't know which misfortunes may lie ahead. And so hopefully as you're looking at your investing, you are figuring out a way to be well diversified across a lot of different asset classes. So if you had every dime and dollar in Apple stock, are you diversified? Say no or shake your head no. No, diversification, again, not putting all your eggs in one basket. And then again, a very biblical view of investing, world's view, very short-term time horizon, looking at it at the end of every night, nervous, sick, calling their advisor every time the market's up, down, in between. Biblical view would be a long-term time horizon, a long time horizon. That Luke passage talks about calculating the cost and how, again, a long-term approach is much better. So how to invest? There's a lot of different ways to invest. And again, we can't take too much time here, so I'm going to try to keep this at kind of a 30,000-foot flyover. But if you have a question, this is, again, an open class, so just stop me, interrupt me. But typically, when you talk to people about how they're investing, it's one of those three things. You're either in some kind of a cash equivalent, you're in something that is fixed income, which would be another word for a bond or a loan, or equities, which a lot of us refer to as stocks. And so we're just going to take, again, a very 30,000-foot flyover at what these different things are. Cash equivalents, you know, most people think of cash equivalents, they think of checking, savings, money market, treasury bills, things that are really easy to get your hands on. So cash equivalents, this would be a great place to have your emergency fund, right? If an emergency comes up, you need to get at it quick. So there's a very high degree of safety. It's very liquid. You can get at it. A disadvantage of it is it might not grow too well. Somebody holler out what you're getting on your checking or savings account right now, the interest rate. Point, what did you say? 0.01? Yeah, 0.15. The 30-day average for a lot of money markets right now is about 10 basis points. I mean, the interest rates are very, very poor right now. So it depends on which way you're looking at it, though. They're poor for the fixed income investor. They're pretty good for the borrower, right? I'm not going to ask you to go around and who's refinanced their loan, but rates have been pretty good for the borrower of late, right? A lot of people refinanced underneath 5%. So cash equivalents, this would be things that are really, really liquid. Some disadvantages of a cash equivalent would be it lacks capital growth potential. It's very exposed to purchasing power risk. And so interest rate risk, like, again, Jeremy's in the front row, so I'm going to plan to pick on him all night. In fact, I'll probably have you come up later and we're going to do a skit together. Just random. Me and you. Because we're that close. Our small group, we are tight. But let's pick on Jeremy here. If he kept, Jeremy is 30 what? 30-something. Let's just call him 30-something. He would not want to have his entire 401k in a cash equivalent, would he? He's got a long time till retirement. We talked cash equivalents don't grow very much. They're really liquid. So that would be a very poor place based on, you know, interest rates. If inflation's 3% and Jeremy's money market's getting 1%, what's really happening? It's losing value. It's not growing. And so it's not that cash equivalents are wrong. There's just a time and a place for them in your portfolio. And so a cash equivalent, this would be a good thing for your emergency fund. Fixed income would be, when you hear people say fixed income, most people tend to think of bonds. So medium, long-term bonds. There's all sorts of different kinds of bonds. Some that are more risky, some that are not. You got high yield bonds, international bonds, domestic bonds, treasury bills. Bonds can go up and down. Long-term bonds have been less volatile than stocks. And so bonds have a low investment risk compared to equities. They have some potential tax advantages at times. Some disadvantages would be kind of like that cash equivalent. Long-term, they haven't grown quite as much. And I'm going to show you a chart later, and there's going to be a quiz on this chart. But long-term bonds represent a loan. And again, let's go back to picking on Jeremy because he's in the front row. Let's say he and I had this great business idea. Let's say I had the great business idea, but I knew Jeremy had the money. Jeremy could do one of two things. A bond would represent a loan to my business. So Jeremy could say, you know what, Steve, I don't really totally fully believe in your business. I'm not sure I want to be an owner in it, but I will loan you some money. And you'll pay me 6%, and then at the end of those 5 years, you get your money back. That's more of a bond. A bond is more like a loan. You're getting some interest, but someday you're going to get your principal back. Whereas a stock, he could say, you know what, I've seen you in small group. I know how sharp you are. He's shaking his head no. He could say, you know what, I don't want to just loan you money. I want to be on the ground floor. I want to own part of this company. I'm going to invest in your company, Steve, and you're going to issue me some shares. And so with that, when you think of stocks or equities, there's typically a higher total return potential long term. However, a disadvantage is Jeremy's $10,000 he puts in my company could become, thanks, Tommy, could become what? Could become nothing if it's mismanaged or doesn't grow or is a bad idea. So, and I'm going to show you a couple charts on the difference between these three things. But so again, long-term people, you're probably going to have a little bit of each of these. You're going to have some cash equivalents. You're going to have some fixed income. You may have some equities as well. And let me flip over to a different presentation here, if I can, really quick. And we're not going to go through all this five fundamentals, but I just wanted to do a couple things, and that's show you long-term. Well, here, let's go back to that interest rate question. Oops. Here's a slide on going broke safely, how taxes and inflation hurt CD returns. So back to that question about interest rate risk. You know, if here's been the average 3-year CD, and here's my tax bracket, there's my after-tax return, and if inflation's been that, you know, I could make a case that right now, in 2010 or 11, CD money has actually gone backwards because of inflation and potentially taxes. But let's go right to, okay, here's a historical performance of those three things we just talked about. So everybody's got them, cash, equivalents, bonds, equities. This top two lines would be small cap and large cap stocks. This would be your bond line. So since December of 26 till December of 2010, there's been a lot of ups and downs, right? But of those, stocks have done the best. Here would be another way to put it. This is the year of my birth, 1975. Let's say my dad would have had $10,000. That should get a laugh right there because I grew up in a pastor's home and we did not have $10,000 in 1975. But if he did, let's say he would have taken all that and put it in a small company stock index, today it'd be worth about $2.2 million. So I'm 35-ish. Large cap stocks, corporate bonds. So we talked about bonds. That was a pretty safe investment, right? And that's not bad. My dad taking $10,000 and turned it into $236. That's not bad. Here's treasury bills. That would be your cash equivalent. So long term, stocks have outperformed bonds and cash. However, again, we're going to talk about the volatility and the risk associated, and all of us in here are different, too. You know, we all have different sleep factors, I could say. Gents, for instance, might be able to stock market up, down, doesn't bother him at all, whereas Jeremy could be, you know, listening on the radio, hear the Dow's down, and he's kicking the dog, and hopefully not kicking the kids, because that would be wrong, but so we're all different. We all have a different risk tolerance. We all have different time horizons for the money. Here's your quiz. This is the S&P 500, which S&P 500 is just represents the 500 domestic U.S. companies. From 1930 till 2010, this goes through by year. Are there more ups or downs? Ups. Now, are there some pretty substantial downs? Absolutely. Look at 2008. Ouch. That down hurt a lot. That was almost 40% down. So more ups, long-term. Long-term performance, here's just another way to put it. You know, inflation, the last 15 years, they say is about 2.4%. The last 30 years, you hear a lot of financial planners use 3.1% as a long-term inflation rate. A good way to think of inflation, Inflation's hard to see, isn't it? I mean, you think of seeing inflation. I think a better way to illustrate inflation is just the cost of goods and services going up. What are some things we know are going up right now that we hear people talk about all the time? Gas, groceries. So if you're spending more on gas and groceries, what's not in your wallet? You know, that extra margin that you had. And so when you think about your investment accounts, you have to weigh that in light of how you're investing it, because inflation is very much real. My grandmother in Montana, I can remember my granddad in this would have been probably the 80s, you know, had a CD portfolio, was probably averaging 8.5%. It was kicking off a great income to her, right? You know, what if CD rates done, and the Lord took her home, so she's not here today. But if you were living off CD income right now, you work at a bank, right? You helped me one time. So you know what would happen, right? If I was coming into you and all I had to my name was $200,000 and I was living off the interest income, that there's a big difference between 8% and, you know, 1 or less than 1. And so inflation is easy to see looking backwards. You know, my dad bought his first new car for $3,000-something, you know. We talked about the house thing in here one other week, you know, first house. What was your first house you bought? $5,500, you know, my first house was $118, I think. And so we know over time the cost of goods and services are going up. And market volatility is it's just going to happen, you know. But market timing long-term has never worked, you know. If you go back and you'd invested $10,000 from 94 to 08, if you missed the best 60 days, your return would have really, really, really suffered compared to if you would have just stayed fully invested and let that money grow. I think this was, there wasn't a lot I was going to show on this presentation. I could bore you to tears with this stuff, but hopefully you got the main gist of it, that there's a lot of different ways to invest. Long term, the market has been very good to people who have been patient and have just let their money grow and haven't been nervous Nellies and constantly moving things around. And we'll talk a little bit more as we get further into this, and maybe as we wrap up class, we can talk about the advantages and the disadvantages. So let me get back to my other presentation here. Okay. So some different types. So some reasons we all invest. You know, obviously, there's a lot of different reasons. These are just the blatantly, brutally obvious reasons we invest. You know, most of our employers now have kind of gone away from the old pension days, right? You know, it used to be that a lot of employers, you know, if you just showed up for work, you were invested in this defined benefit pension plan that based off your years of service, you were going to get XYZ. Those are becoming less and less, unless you work for, without getting too political here, unless you are a school teacher or a firefighter or work for a public sector type job. In other words, you know, here at Sailorville, we don't have a defined benefit plan. If Abe shows up for 30 years, we give him a gold watch at the end and a guaranteed $2,000 a month. We might, Abe. I don't know. We'll see. We don't have that kind of a pension anymore. Now we're more into what's called more of a defined contribution, where everybody familiar with the term 401k? Everybody knows 401k. 401k, you know, your employer may be putting in and matching that, but most of that's going to be your dollars you're putting in, or individual retirement account. So reasons to invest, probably one of the most obvious that a lot of us in here have investment accounts for would be retirement income. And again, we can debate whether or not retirement is biblical. Most of us don't have a view of retirement of just counting seashells and not serving the Lord, you know. But retirement could come. You know, the Lord may retire you and I, right? And so that's one reason we're saving for it. Back to my interview with the Chicago Tribune, and I don't know if that'll be posted yet or not, or that article will happen or not, but it's just the statistics are staggering how little people have got saved for retirement. And it's irrefutable that people are living longer. Modern medicine has gotten better. And so to live, you are going to need resources. So you're either going to, some are going to delay the day. I mean, some are going to just have to wait longer. They're going to have to retire later. part-time jobs are going to have to come back into vogue. And I think they kind of are. A lot of my retirees, about 50% of my practice actually is retired. I love working with retirees. They keep me sharp, and they could call you at any time, so be ready. You may have to delay the day. You may have to have a part-time job. You may have to live on less. But that's one of the biggest reasons I think a lot of us in this room would be. Kids' education, again, that'll be between each couple as to what you want to provide. But again, it's without refute that the cost of higher education is just getting more and more. And more employers, like, I don't know, again, back to pick on my friend in the front row, Jeremy here. Will you even interview people if they don't have a degree? So pretty much the barrier of getting in to most major companies now, we're going to have college education. So how you're going to pay for them, we need to be thinking about that. And maybe that's a combination of child, parent. Maybe your son will just have a wicked jump shot. I don't know. That's my hope, but... His dad was the shortest person on every basketball team, so probably not very good. Opportunities to give down the road, that is absolutely a reason to invest. I mean, at Cedarville, we had to take this thing called a spiritual gifts inventory. I think the Lord has absolutely blessed some people here at Sailorville Baptist Church with the gift of giving. And a lot of times that has come because of their faithfulness in investing. Last week, I had two different meetings with two different churches that I give counsel to that have endowments because of people who have just done a good job investing, that have given money to the church so that the church can provide scholarships, so the church can provide all sorts of things. And so that is a reason to invest for future opportunities to give someday if you don't need it for retirement income. And then also just to offset the long-term impact of inflation, you know. Social Security, I won't do the poll, but I don't know if it'll be there for you, gents. Gents is shaking his head no. I think it could be there in some form. Everybody know what Social Security is, right? Part of what you put in on your check. Social Security, there's a couple parts of it. Part of it is if I die too soon, Carson and Colin get a benefit, paid to Holly, not really to them, until they're age 18. That's part of Social Security. Part of it also is there's a death benefit. Anybody know what the death benefit is? This is kind of fun trivia time for a financial planner. The death benefit. Randy, you've paid in your entire life to Social Security, and the death benefit is $255. Awesome. Don't make a lot of plans on that. But the third cog of Social Security, if you're disabled, if you die, and also the Social Security definition of disability is very hard to meet. It is if you can't perform any occupation. So I get sick and can't work, can't do my job. Social Security, that definition of disability has gotten really tough. So then the last cog, what most of us think about when we think about Social Security, is a benefit in retirement. Never was it started or created to be a retirement benefit, but it's kind of came into that. There isn't a lockbox with your name on it. All this money has gone into a pot, and I'm not sure it's being spent the wisest. But so a reliance, we can't just rely on Social Security being there. There's a big piece of legislation that's getting press on both sides of the aisle that's talking about means testing. So, you know, Jeremy, if you've done a great job saving for retirement and you get right up to retirement, it could be that you have to demonstrate a need, almost like a welfare or something, to be able to collect it. So don't feel like this money that you put in there is your money. Now, I do think it'll be there. The question is what form, and they're going to have to raise taxes. And again, sorry, I'm getting off on a rabbit trail. This isn't really what you signed up for. If you have any fun questions on Social Security, I'd love to debate with you, though. No doubt it's in trouble, though, right? Can we all agree on that? So reasons to invest, retirement, kids' education, opportunities to give, offset in the impact of inflation, reasons people don't invest. The number one reason people don't invest, or the reason that people get out of the market, is fear of the unknown. There is a lot of volatility. You look at the last week in the market, If you were investing for one day, I would tell you, you probably shouldn't be putting any money in the market. You know, you need to have a time horizon that's, and a risk tolerance, a feel-good factor, a little bit longer than a day. I don't know if I can just click over here to the, and this is where it gets tough. Let's look at the last 10 days. We're going to look at the indices that we're looking here is the Dow. So the Dow over the last 10 days, this has not been a good investment, right? We've gone from 12.2 to about 11.8. So it just kind of depends on your time horizon. Now hopefully, again, back to pick on my friend Jeremy in the front, has that bothered you the last 10 days, the market down? And why has it not bothered you? Long-term investor. It's not your money yet, man. It's not your time yet. So be careful in how you look at it. We're in an information age. I mean, every night Jeremy could go home and turn on the computer, go to mint.com, pull up every account and say to Sarah, "Doggone it, we lost $4,000 today." You know? You could do that. Of course, you could also do that on the days it's up. "Honey, let's go out to supper. We've made this much." So just be careful that you know the market goes up, the market goes down. Long term, it is always finished up. And so you're going to have these different buckets of money throughout life. Your emergency fund money, should it be in the market? No, absolutely not. Money that you need to get at. Your long term money, though, hopefully you're not driving your spouse crazy or yourself crazy by getting too concerned with the ups and downs. Doesn't mean you don't need to be educated. Absolutely, you need to be educated. There's the last 10 years in the market. So, you know, you look at the last 10 years. I'm not sure what happened there. If you took that curve out of it, really the last 10 years have not been, there hasn't been huge gains. In the last 10 years, we've gone from about 10,000 to 12. So there's been a lot of money made and lost in those 10 years. So hopefully you're getting my point, and I'm not completely annoying you with my rant on long-term investing. Go back to current. So fear of the unknown, fear of the day-to-day, the media certainly has not helped the reason for people to invest. There is so much access to financial information. Everybody's got a blog. Everybody's an expert. If you visit me in my office ever, you know, you'll see a TV, two computer monitors. It is constantly feeding us with data. You know, we got CNBC, Fox Business, email, paper, all these radio shows. This topic of investing would be one area that I'm not super crazy with Dave Ramsey's views on, but you'll have to kind of look at those and decide for yourself. So there's a lot of things bombarding us, and a lot of times that creates fear. Paycheck to paycheck living is a reason people don't invest. There's no margin. You know, we don't have anything to invest. We've spent it all. We know we need to be saving for retirement, but we don't have any margin. Procrastination, that probably should be up there about number two as well. There is no better time like the present. I used to do a illustration, and doggone it, I left my money clip out in the car. I used to do this illustration. You're going to have to just bear with me because I don't have any cash. But I used to do this illustration when I spoke. I'd take a $20 bill out, and maybe some of you are, I don't know if you're in my class, Pastor Abe at Faith, when I did this, but I'd take a $20 bill and say, "Here's this $20 bill. Who will give me $10 for it?" People are usually like looking around, "Huh? What are you talking about?" And I meant to do that tonight, and I left my money in my car. And so somebody right away kind of figures out, "Oh, I'll give you 10, so I'll take it over there." And then I'll say, "Okay, $10, she will give me 5. And so people start to get wiser. "Okay, I'll do that." And then when I get my $5 bill, I say, "Okay, I've got $5. Who will give me $1? But I'm not going to come to you. You got to come to me." And by then, half the class is running up with their dollar. But the whole point of that little exercise that I've done many times is the sooner you get started, the more you're going to make. The sooner you get started investing, little by little by little, it pays off. So the guy that ran up with his $10 made 10 bucks, you know, and on down the line. And so don't procrastinate this. Figure out a way. It's too easy to get it started systematically. Whether you're using your employer's plan, whether you're doing a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA, figure out a way. Don't procrastinate this. Mike Fitzgerald, I have to give him tons of props. Everybody, Mike Fitzgerald is our state treasurer. they came up with a great plan, a great 529 plan. They used the fund company Vanguard. It's very easy to do, very easy to be saving for kids' education. So don't procrastinate that. Another reason people don't invest is just bad experience in the past, poor market timing. That scares a lot of people out of the market. You know, think about the last 10 years. If you've just been an investor the last 10 years, it could be that you have very little returns. You've seen your account grow. You've seen it go back down. But long-term, over time, Art, maybe at the end you could talk about that just a little bit about market timing. And long-term, it's paid off, hasn't it, to be a steady plotter and keep investing. So when to invest, I would say start early. You know, quit standing on the sidelines. You know, compound interest is powerful. Einstein called it the eighth wonder of the world. And so everybody knows what compound interest is, right? Well, compounding on top, you know, the interest you had the year before. Quit waiting for a low risk entry point. There is a ton of money on the sidelines right now where they're waiting for when's the right time to get in. The hard thing is, you know, you may be waiting a while. Right now, again, this isn't a class where I get to talk about my views on the economy, but I firmly believe we are in expansion. I've moved from, what was I calling myself, cynically optimistic, to now I'm just probably a little more optimistic. I think we're going in a right direction. We've had 8 quarters of positive corporate profits. Do we still have risk? Do we still have uncertainty? Absolutely. You know, we got this lagging indicator of unemployment that still doesn't look really that good. We got a lot of uncertainty, but you can't, there's never going to be a better time than the present. So quit obsessing over short-term results. Quit waiting for the right, you know, invest systematically. Most wealth has been created by just being very faithful and little by little by little by little. Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but the foolish man has devours all he has. So don't be, make sure that somewhere in your budget, even if it's $20 a month, start somewhere, and this would be after you get your emergency fund built. I can't make a big case of saving long-term unless you've got, remember back to that budgeting week on having an adequate emergency fund, and adequate just being, you know, 3 to 6 months living expenses. One other thought on this too, before we move on, investing systematically. I always, or reason people don't invest, bad market timing, poor experience. Make sure you're not investing in things you don't understand either. That's a big concern of mine. There are a lot of people, if somebody comes to you with some great, perfect thing and you can't understand it, you can't go home to Jesse and say, here's what I was presented, say no. Don't invest it. There's a lot of crazy stuff going around of limited partnerships and oil and gas. And man, I would just say be very, very cautious. If you can't go back and explain it, you probably shouldn't be buying it. Or make sure you do educate yourself. There's a lot of good books out there. So start early, invest systematically. Make sure you've got something, you know, the typical budget is, Steve, I'm going to spend, and if I have anything left over, I will fund my Roth IRA this year. The problem is, a lot of times there's nothing left over. So the more you can get yourself over here to just say, and I know that phraseology may bug some of you, pay yourself first. After your tithes and offerings, after your giving, pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. And even if it's a small percentage, you know, it can become a significant amount of money over time, and savings becomes a habit. The more you can just little by little by little pay yourself first after your tithes and offerings, do that. The cost of waiting, I love this slide. So here's the monthly investment required to accumulate $1 million, assuming a 10% compound rate of return. So this is just hypothetical. I know you may say, Steve, that's a retarded goal. That's not my goal to have $1 million. If it was, notice here what happens. If you had number of years to invest, if you were 20, you'd only need to save $158 a month to accumulate $1 million, assuming a 10% rate of return by 40. Now, some of you too are questioning. You're super smart. I can tell your wheels are turning. 10%, are you kidding me, Steve? long term, I'm not saying this year, I'm saying over time, I think 10%, and this would be one way I totally disagree with Dave Ramsey on the whole 12% thing. He makes it sound very easy. Again, you'd rather underestimate and overperform, right? 8 to 10% is usually the average I use if you're a growth investor. But notice what happens here. So if you didn't start at 20, if you waited until you were 30 and you had 30 years to invest to get to 60, I'm not super good with math, but Jeremy, isn't that almost triple? Pretty close to triple. So the idea is the longer you wait, or you wait until you're 40, you got to save $1,300 a month, or you wait until you're 50 and you say, okay, at 50, my goal, Steve, is to have $1 million by 60, you got to save $5,000 a month. And so get started early, accumulate systematically. The power of compound interest, you know, it's amazing. So get started. Don't put it off. What are some other just key ingredients, you know, of this whole topic of investing? And that's, again, diversification. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know. I did a meeting not too long ago with a retired Christian woman who thought she was well diversified and had every dollar of her entire 401k and her husband's estate who passed away, every dollar was in John Deere stock. I mean, and she thought she was well diversified because John Deere has mowers and tractors and the cutters, and she thought she was diversified. Honestly did. And John Deere's had a wonderful run up of late. It's a good stock, but it would be a poor place to have everything. And so believe your dad when he said don't put all your eggs in one basket. Risk tolerance, make sure that your portfolio matches you and your sleep factor. So all of us in here are different. When you think about those three different types, cash equivalents, stocks, bonds, you're going to have to come up with what's the right mix for you. I'm a growth investor. That's 80% stocks, 20 bonds. I, even at my age, like to have some protection in my portfolio. And so you're going to have to figure out what's the best for you. And I had Tom make some, if you want a little risk management questionnaire, I've got some in the back. I think he made 20 or so. So if you want one, grab one. It's just a little 10-question questionnaire. You've done them at work that takes you through and kind of drives. How much time do you have? How do you feel? What's some history? And it scores it and it tells you, okay, Jeremy, you're a conservative growth investor based on how you answered the questions. And then another key ingredient is just time horizon. Make sure that your investments match when you need the money. And so, again, back to that example that I was talking about with Jeremy, you know, having all of his 401k and cash would make zero sense. You know, he's got a lot of time. So make sure that your investments match when you're going to actually need the money. And then these last couple things before we just open it up to questions or I show this video clip is from Dave Ramsey, or just some of my own personal viewpoints. And that's, number one, seek some wise counsel. There's a lot of people around here you can reach out to. And, you know, I think there is victory in the multitude of counselors. Secondly, recognize that there are no guarantees. If you hear the word guaranteed or for sure, that would be good signs to run. Unless we're talking about an FDIC-insured CD, then I'm okay with the word guaranteed. But other than that, there's no guarantees. Recognize that uncertainty is the only certainty. Thirdly, in my two classes ago I did this, I got some interesting feedback on this quote. But there's a difference between gambling and responsible investing. I know there's been some in the Christian community that have kind of castigated long-term investing. There is a big difference between Jeremy and I going out to Prairie Meadows and betting on a horse versus him investing or me investing in my 401k. Big difference. In the 401k, we're not just throwing money at the wall and hoping it works. We're buying good companies that have streams of income. And so there absolutely is a difference there. And then lastly, and this is a novel idea, take time to think and pray. You know, certainly the Lord, you know, wants to know all of our concerns. And so Psalms 37:7 that I cited there is just that verse of, you know, rest in the Lord, wait on him patiently. Don't fret because of somebody who prospers in his way because of a wicked scheme. And so I think of that Psalm 73. Everybody knows Psalm 73, that perspective psalm. You know, it goes through, I was envious of the wicked, da-da-da-da-da, and then it gets down to like verse 17, and then I saw their end. You know, take time, think and pray, dedicate some of these things to the Lord, recognize that it's not yours. And so the big idea of this lesson wasn't to make you experts on cash equivalents, stocks, or bonds. However, that'd be fascinating if we could spend more time on it, but we can't. But the big idea of the lesson is just get started now. Be a steady plotter. Invest in things that will last. Invest in things that you understand. And then lastly, I would also just say quit worrying. You know, the Lord is in control. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. I got a voicemail at the last market correction that we had. I think I shared this with Abe, but the last market correction we had that was very, very severe correction in 2008, we were down, you know, a lot of our conservative growth portfolios were down probably 28, 29%. It was a big correction. Some of my most difficult asset management clients were the believers, where we know all this stuff. We should have a hope in the Lord, right? Not in our stuff. But I had a believer who even left the F-bomb in a voicemail to me, a long voicemail about why his account was down. Now, that doesn't, great guy, doesn't, you know, was just basically enunciating his fear. And so we do need to quit worrying, and we do need to realize. Now, it doesn't mean we need to invest willy-nilly and just throw it at the wall and hope it works. And, you know, Steve, find me the greatest tech stock that has the most potential, or penny stock. No, but we do need to quit worrying. So some digging deeper, some homework. If you do like this topic and you want to learn more about it, one good book I would recommend, and this is not a Christian book by any means, but Dr. Thomas Stanley got his PhD actually studying the lives of people who win with money. And so a classic old book, but a very good book, is called The Millionaire Next Door. It's an easy read. You can read it on a plane flight. Some homework, if you want to look at that risk questionnaire, you certainly can. It's a great questionnaire that basically just kind of takes you through some stuff. So I have a short video clip I can show, or I'll be glad to open it up for questions too, or comments. Anybody have a comment or a question on this fun topic?